You're a parent, a student, or a staff member that takes Northern Nevada high school sports seriously. Huh, you ain't seen nothing. This is the Battleborn Preps Podcast. If it's high school sports in Northern Nevada, we're not only talking about it, we're right in the middle of it. News and information you can trust. Let's do this. This is the Battleborn Preps Podcast. And now your host, Michael Reeves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Battleborn Preps Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Reeves. Today, joining me is the newest head football coach of Damani Ranch Football, J.J. Milan. Coach, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Well, we've got a lot of questions, so we're going to get right to it. We're filming this on December 28th. You were hired on December 11th, which was a Monday. Obviously, December's a hectic month for any of us, let alone a new football coach. Have you had the opportunity to speak with the team? And if so, what will be your message to the team? And if you haven't, what would still be your message?
I was able to set up a team meeting last Thursday and get everybody in there. And I brought in a bunch of the coaches that will be joining me this year. The biggest message and the main message were three things, philosophy from the coaches, and then three things that we want to see, expectations from the players. From the coaches, we'll get some discipline, structure, organization, accountability. That comes in a lot of different ways. And then from the team's standpoint, three expectations for them is their effort, their attitude, and what kind of values they bring to the team about being coachable. There goes a lot into what those things, what all six of those things are, and there's a lot to it. But focused around those three things each, we could really build something that needs some significant change. So it was a good meeting. I had a lot of good energy, positive energy. The kids seemed very happy and rejuvenated. They saw the coaches in there, bringing in there, and you could just see a good spark in their eye. So I'm excited to get going with these guys.
You touched on it a little bit. In that same respect, what does your staff look like? Because we know that culture is a huge part of programs in Northern Nevada. And quite frankly, since the Sean Dupree era, coaching has been a spot that Damani Ranch has needed to improve. And with you coming in, I'm curious to hear maybe some of the names, some of the differences that you're looking to apply.
Yeah, I'm bringing in a bunch of guys with me, guys that I've played with in the past and at Nevada when I played there, guys that have plenty of NFL experience. I could throw some names out for you. Josh Maga will be joining me. He played with me in Nevada, also played with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets for a long time. Him and I have been coaching together for the past 5 years. He's got a kid same age as mine. So he'll be defense coordinating for me. Roderick Stallings played with me in Nevada. He'd be up there coaching with me. Adam Bishop played tight end, also played a little bit with the Jags. He'll be there with me. Chris Hines, he'll be with a bunch of guys. I mean, I could keep going off on this, actually. But I'm bringing in sense they are big men too, but a big staff in that we're revamping the whole thing, bringing a winning culture, bringing a discipline to it, and bringing a great game plan offensively and defensively that we could really call our own, being very innovative, not just following along the trends of high school football, but really kind of doing our own thing on both sides of the ball and looking forward to implementing it. I really am. It's going to be very exciting for Damani future.
I feel like we're going to be referencing the University of Nevada quite a bit today. But,
yeah, I can see that.
The University of Nevada is near and dear to your heart. You still hold a record for the seventh spot for sacks in a single season. So it's still there. I checked the record books last night.
Yeah.
How did the University of Nevada prepare you for this role?
Oh man, that's a great question. Getting from high school to college is really it's just a change of pace. It really is. It's just things are faster, and I think that's what the game really is at every level. It just gets faster at each level. Being able to adapt to that is a player's biggest attribute. So for me, I was young. I was only 17 playing my first game. I had to have my mom actually sign a release form to play Washington State my first year because I played as a true freshman. So being able to adjust to that early was an attribute that I was able to do. So the structure from when I first got there and the players there, from Coach Tormey to Coach Alt. Coach Alt was an amazing coach. I've learned a lot from his structure and discipline. The coaches around him, I know Coach Wilson was just recently fired up there from Nevada. I still think he was an amazing coach for me. He's a great man. Him and his staff taught me how to be accountable, taught me how to practice hard, taught me how to go about game film, watching film offensively and defensively. How just the attitude more than anything, coming out there with a positive attitude, not feeling like, oh man, we got to go out to practice today, but more being excited and letting that culture be contagious to where, guys want to be out there, and it's not a disciplinary action to go out there and practice, or it's not, if you got to go condition, it's not something that, you're in trouble because you got to run. It's just part of the game. That's what you got to do. So just understanding those concepts and having a good outlook on it, and knowing that if you could do those things, you're going to bring something to a team more than just your physical body, but energy that is contagious. And that's the best thing. When you see great teams, you see how they look. They're jumping up and down. They're happy to be there. They're excited to play this game. And that's how you got to be. That's what this game is, man. It's fun.
Most certainly. Well, I want to get into some of the details regarding your team. And respectfully, when you go into the coaches meeting, when you go into your first Northern Nevada Football Coaches Association meeting, you're going to go into a room with a lot of tenured head coaches. You're going to go into a room with a lot of tenured high school coaches. Neither of those roles you've had before. How do you feel you're going to overcome that obstacle? Because let's not kid ourselves. There's going to be coaches that are going to wonder, is this guy ready for this type of role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and every one of those coaches that are in that room were in the same position as me at some point, and you see the success that they've had. I just know the foundation that you need for a team to be great, and I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like, and I will make sure if we don't look or feel like that, that I will make changes to get us to that place. Being around coaches that have already done it, that have been successful, just makes me feel like I'm in my, where I should be. I enjoy seeing those guys. I look up to a lot of those coaches that have been doing it for a long time. I learn from them. I steal stuff from them constantly. But at the same point, I invite them, and I invite the whole everything about it of being in that room and feeling confident in my skills as a leader and as a coach, but at the same time having some humility, knowing that I know there's guys that have done it before me that have had success and I can learn from them as well.
When running a program, you have to be a tactician on the sidelines, a diplomat with the parents, and a leader amongst the community. Which one of those do you think is your strongest, and which do you feel you need a little bit more practice on?
Oh man, that's a good question as well. I feel like I have a lot of strengths when it comes to managing parents and expectations of parents and behaviors of parents and getting them on the same page of us being on the same team, and we're not against each other. We actually are on the same team, and we need to build each other up and have each other's backs and make more of a family environment and include the parents into those things. Cause I'm a parent and I got four kids, and I know what it's like seeing your kid playing or not playing. And, everyone has an opinion of things. So just having that structure and dealing with them, I feel like I do a good job managing parents. I think my biggest attribute is being a leader is, a lot of my philosophy is just doing the right thing and being able to show that in all aspects of life to my community and my players and my coaches. I really think that speaks a lot, and they could see my dedication from the time I put into this to everything about it. I think, what was the third part of that question? The diplomat? Just be, what was that?
Yeah, you are a tactician on the sidelines. You're a diplomat with the parents, but then you're a leader amongst the community because obviously in high school, you know, the University of Nevada has such a great standing with the community. If they ask for donations, it's a little bit easier than having to send kids out every summer to go get sponsorships to line your stadium up with.
Yeah, so I guess if anything is my experience as a tactician on the sideline. If I think the other two I do a really good job of, and I feel that being one of my main attributes. But that's a good thing about not having a ton of experience is bringing guys in that do. And if I don't know an answer, I'll find out the answer from someone else. I'm bringing in my offensive coordinator this year is going to be Maurice Carter. He's he actually worked with Ernie Howard for a long time at Reed. He's a phenomenal offensive mind. His knowledge of the game and his passion for it is undeniable when you sit down and talk with him. Putting together his base package with a lot of creative mind that I have, we've been meeting almost every day for the past 2 weeks about offensive strategy and formations and things moving forward. And we have a great game plan going forward already. And I'm really excited. So bringing in guys like that helped me build up my rapport, especially on the sideline.
Now, I know you mentioned you were pretty good with parents. I will say that this is a very anxious program. They suck.
I could see it. I could feel that already.
And as a DeMonte grad, I can give you a little bit of background. Yeah. There were the Tony Amatia years where, you know, six and
he was my head coach.
Tony Amatia is one of the best human beings you'll ever meet.
Yeah. But, love Tony.
You know, there were some 6-4 years. There were some 4-6 years. It was pretty average, mediocre, but the school was still finding its footing from 2003 to, I want to say it was about 2010. And then Sean DeBrie came along from Las Vegas and changed everything. I mean, the community bought in, the parents bought in, and I remember my first interview with Sean, and he wasn't too pleased when I asked him if Drew Smith was going to be a quarterback or running back, but away we go. Sean DeBrie gets a regional championship or two, has a quarterback named Cade McNamara, and really does some good things for the DeMonte Ranch program. Then we see Ty Gregg, or even before then, there was Patrick Acord, did not take the position, or took the position, was not the coach. Then Ty had to fill in. Ty fills in. You know, he gets his footing in the interim role, and then last year just had far too many speed bumps. So needless to say, there are anxious parents within that program. I know that you said you are good about bringing them in, making them feel like they're family. But what happens if you somehow do get an 0-3 record to start the season? How do you keep those outside voices, just like I said, outside voices, while not destroying the integrity and the culture of your program?
Well, you still got 7 more games after those 3, so you got more opportunity. DeMonte Ranch, you know, all those coaches that you named off, no disrespect to them at all, and each one of them has done good things for this program. But I'd like to say that I'm bringing in a fresh new look, a new feel, a new light. And like I said, I know what a championship team looks like. I know what it feels like. I know what it needs to be in the weight room in the off season. I've been training kids for the past 13 years in this community, from college kids to professional athletes to high school kids. We will be physically ready more than anything. And then bringing in the structure and discipline of what practice should look like, accountability to the team. These are all things that I will not live without. And when the parents see the structure and the discipline and the organization that I'll bring, I think it'll give them some peace of mind of, okay, you know, we're doing the right thing. He's in the right place. I'm in my element when I'm doing this. I feel like this is my passion. And like I said, this is something I love doing. And I've really just enjoyed the process so far. But, you know, just like anything, you start off 0-3 or you have some adversity, you work through it, you stick to your plan, you stick to your disciplines, and you will have success eventually. I'm not saying I'm going to go in there and win a state champion and win every game, but I'll make sure that the pillars of success are instilled and we are going to hold each other accountable for those.
I know you.
And winning is a byproduct of that. No worries. Winning's a byproduct of that.
I know you mentioned,
and winning helps everything.
I know you mentioned all those we mentioned all those head coaches, and it's actually funny when you were speaking, I was thinking about this question. You know, you see a Tony Amatia who's very old school in some manners, but yet he is, he's always praising his ex-players. You see a Sean Dupree, he was stern. And, you know, if you weren't in his program, you may think he could have been a jerk. But let me tell you, if you were in his program and you understood him, he very much so praised you and he very much so respected the players. I know that Greg had some issues internally with some of the players. Obviously, you are bringing in a new face, a new culture. When you have a kid that, let's just say, is a problem to the program, or you have kids that are not problems to the program, but maybe need a little extra, not motivation or encouragement, but rather just, you know, you want to give them a little more love. What kind of, as a head coach, is your philosophy as far as how you want your players to feel day in and day out as part of the program?
I want my players to feel like I'm an open door. I want our players to feel that they are accepted and we are family and I want them there. But at the same time, you need to hold yourself accountable for what the team needs you to do. You have a job on this team and your job is to go to zero period weights, is to show up on time, is to be accountable in the classroom, all these different check marks that we'll have for this program. And so these kids need to understand that to be a part of this family that they have to put in, they can't just be. So I think each case is an individual case. If you have a kid that needs some more help, that needs to be brought to you and pat them on the back and give them a attaboy, or a kid that needs to be more stern and needs to be, you know, more strictly enforced, whether you're yelling at them or making them run or do something like that. It's just all dependent on, you know, individual basis. But I'll make sure every one of those kids know that, you know, I will be respected, but at the same time, I will respect them in every manner. And I hope that they can look up to me and look at me as a leader to them, and that they want to show me that respect because of what they see me doing for this program and for them as young men.
Most certainly. The Damani Ranch Mustangs, by all accounts, last season was not a success. With the NIAA realignment, they will be moving down to the 5A Division III. Next year, they're going to face Carson, Galena, Hug, North Valleys, and Wooster, with Douglas moving up to 5A D2. There may be relegation, but it gives them a better opportunity to compete for a regional championship. How do you handle relegation when people approach you and go, well, you're taking over a team that's moving down?
Yeah, you know, I look at every situation is profiting from experience, whether that experience is good or bad. So having a season like they did last year and going down and being in a less competitive conference per se, isn't something that I would want to be in. I would definitely say that I want to be at the highest level of competition and competing every year for a championship. But understand, when I look at this, I look at this as, you know, this is an opportunity to get my feet wet my first year playing, instill the program when it comes to the off season, in season, the weights program, the offense, the defense. It's a lot to put in. It's a lot to do, and especially in such limited time that you have with the kids. So I look at it as an opportunity to go out there and compete. I know we got a lot of talent coming back. I spoke to some of the kids. I've watched a bunch of tape on a lot of them. I am very optimistic that these kids will buy in to the structure and discipline in the program. And when they do, we will be a force to be reckoned with in that Division III, no doubt about it. And I look at that as an opportunity to showcase that. And year in and year out after that, you know, I expect to win and get back in that Division II conference and be, Damani should be, a team that just consistently is in the talks of championships, regional championships, state championships, like a Minogue, like a Reed, like a McQueen, one of those teams that are, they should be up in that top four teams every year. And I'll make sure that we will be.
You know, you touched on reaching out to some of those players. Curious if there were any particular that you were excited to reach out to, or anything you got from those conversations.
You know, there's a couple kids that stand out. I don't want to point them out individually yet. I haven't even had a practice with these kids. I haven't even seen them in the weight room. First appearance of them, just seeing them, size, you know, what they look like, the eye test, we look good. You know, there's a couple kids on the team that are coming back that are returning guys that, you know, they're potential big play guys that I'm really excited for. Amari Nash, Colby Craig, like these guys have played and shown that they could play football really well. They buy into the program. They buy into the discipline. They be leaders for this team, get that O-line to really do what they need to do. And this team could be a very explosive team. And I'm very excited to get these guys the ball and with our offensive game plan.
Definitely two big-time returners there. We'll get a little bit more into them in a minute. But first, I know that you were on the defensive side of the ball, obviously.
Yeah.
You're a defensive end that played at the University of Nevada and played in the NFL.
Yep.
What's your approach schematically and mentally to the defensive side of the ball?
You know, without giving too much away, I mean, eventually people are going to see us, but we are going to be a dynamic defense, switching up our fronts, being a gap accountable, but very aggressive. We have a very aggressive blitz play style, man pressure, and then dropping into zones and mixing up coverages and getting guys to guess where we are, but being a very attacking defense that is built around getting tackles for loss and putting offenses in second, third, and long positions, where in that point you could start really making some great calls when you talk about zone blitzes and zone coverages and switching that up to get yourself in a position to, you know, get a turnover, get a takeaway, things like that.
Most certainly. And you know, another player that just comes to mind, I know you've got Carson Galvin coming back. I know you have a linebacker.
Mm-hmm. That's another
back.
One.
You know, you guys, Damani, and I've always joked with everybody, somehow Damani finds a way to always put a corner or safety out every year that competes with the best of them this, you know, here in Northern Nevada. Let's flip sides, because obviously this is, I'd say, and I'm not going to lie to you, even as a Damani grad, I was the most critical of Damani's offense last year. You see in their history, you go from an Amantia with a lot of his pro formations primarily. You see the spread concepts with Dupree, the wing T, which had minimal success last year with Ty Gregg and Kendall Brock. What are we going to see offensively this year? Because the Damani Ranch Mustangs we knew last year, it was under 10-yard run or under 10-yard curl routes and slants. And it was, let's try to run the ball as much as we can out of the wing tee.
Yeah. Well, listen, like no matter what offense you're running, whether it's a wing tee, spread, air raid, pistol, veer, triple option, it doesn't matter. If you have discipline, structure, a game plan, and you review and practice those things and you make sure you're doing it right, you're going to have success doing that. Me particularly, we're going to run the ball. We will be a run the ball first style offense, but we will be in 11 personnel in a spread offense, running downhill, getting that defense to spread out, still running downhill, but at the same time being very dynamic in our pass game, working the middle of the field, working screens and draws, and then also vertical routes down the field to really put pressure on teams. We will be dynamic in all aspects, never giving away either side of the ball when it comes to run or pass, being more balanced, but utilizing our players. I think that's a big thing that, you know, a lot of, you know, what I didn't see from Damani last year is utilizing their big players and getting them the ball and, you know, finding, incentivizing them and putting them in positions to be those big playmakers. And so finding those right guys and putting them in the right place and then giving them that philosophy and the structure and the discipline and that game plan. You know, I'm very excited about the offense. I think we're going to put up big numbers this year, move the ball through the air and on the ground. And being creative, too. I'm telling you, we're going to bring some creativity out there. You're not going to see a wing tee with us.
Most certainly. Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, just because you run the ball does not mean, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, we were discussing Jeff Choate, the new head football coach at the University of Nevada, and somebody was a little wary that they said, oh, we're going to run the damn ball. And I said, you can run the damn ball just
absolutely
fine. As long as you maybe get 10 to 15 passes along in there and, you know, some play action involved.
You have to be multidimensional. Once you get, if you get stuck to, hey, we're only running the ball, then you could get defenses that start stacking the box, that start run blitzing, that start really putting pressure on you guys. And then you get behind on the sticks and you're forced to throw. So you can't throw when you want to, or your play actions don't work because, you know, it's a bad situation of football. So it's all about the timing with everything, but being able to run the ball in on a football team. And I've been on the opposite side of the ball where a team is running the ball on you and you can't stop them. That is the worst feeling you could have in football, is you know a team is running the ball and you can't stop them. Not that, you know, taking away from the pass or anything. We will run the ball and we will throw, and we'll probably be about 50-50 with each. So it'll be very balanced, but we will not turn away of just, hey, we're just going to be some air raid and run a bunch of read options and throw the ball the whole time. We're not going to do that. But we will be dynamic on both sides, running the ball and throwing the ball.
Well, and as we know here in Northern Nevada, your roster quite dictates your scheme sometimes.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to negate what you just said, Coach, but if you have a Cade McNamara come along, I think you may get closer to a 60-40.
Yeah, we might throw a little more. Absolutely. You know, and that's what I said too. You definitely, your players will dictate a lot of those play calls and what you feel confident in and what they feel confident in as well. But you definitely don't want to pigeonhole them to any one thing and become one-dimensional out there on the football field.
Well, we appreciate your time. I've got about four more questions here to just kind of summarize the interview and finish it up. What did it mean December 11th to get the call from Jeff Tedy to say you were the next head football coach at Damani Ranch?
Oh, man, let me tell you, it was a great feeling. It was before I put in for the application, you know, I honestly didn't know if I was going to or not. You know, I was in a place, I have four kids, I have a job of my own, like I have a life, but, you know, a lot of thought and prayer went into it about, you know, what my passion is and what really fills me to where, you know, I spend time doing things like this without knowing that time is going by. And when you have something that you're passionate about, with it, you just got to go with your gut and your heart. And when I put in for that application, I knew that was the right thing. And as soon as, no joke, I put in for that application, Jeff called me like 3 minutes later. It was like, JJ, I saw you put in for that. And so it was really good because I got a really good reception from them. And then going through the interview process from them, I feel like they reiterated to me that it was a very good interview, one of the best they've ever had. And it felt like that. I felt it was an hour and 45 minute interview, and I felt like I was in there for 5 minutes. Words just flew off my tongue, and it was a good day. And then, you know, when I walked out of that interview, I knew I was going to get that job at Damani. I really did. And getting that phone call was just telling my wife, and because she knows how passionate I'm about this and everything, and all my guys who are with me, because it's not just me. I got a good group of guys and coaches that are on this with me that I called before I even put in for this application and asked them, like, hey, if I'm doing this, you're coming with me. And they all, you know, backed me with it. And that's a lot of those coaches that I named earlier. So without them and without my wife and family support and my own passion, we wouldn't be here. But I'm glad that I followed that. And I'm very excited for the future, and just, and not the immediate future either. I mean, I want to turn this to a program of a long-term successful, it's a tradition type program.
Well, we appreciate that answer. And I kind of want to touch on a little more of that. I'm sure it must have been that much more sweeter with four kids near high school and three of them being boys. You know, maybe you told the kids, whether you're playing football or not now, you may be soon.
Well, oh no, they all three of my sons play football. They've been in our Pop Warner program for the past 5 years. I mean, we haven't lost a game in Nevada in 5 years. We've done a lot of good things. My sons have been, you know, exceptional in football, and they're you know, self-driven, which that's what I love about them. And I talked to them before this too, say, hey guys, if we're doing this, you're coming with me, you know. And that's really what it is. Having, being able to coach my kids in high school would be, you know, a really awesome feeling for me, and being able to like have that experience with them. So getting them, and then those kids around them too, you know, having a nice little feeder program for Damani, you know, I'm not hiding anything about that. I want to have I want to be very involved with the youth programs here in Northern Nevada, especially the ones that I've been involved with already, and get them in the Damani Ranch program, using our lingo, using our terms, seeing our coaches, like everything about it, and then bringing them up through that program to instill. That way you're not susceptible to 1 or 2 years. You got some guys that could carry you to a lot of wins because of their talent or something like that. You know, you get a McNamara, something like a kid like that who could really change a program. But then when they leave, the success falls off. You know, I want to make this, you know, a year in and year out competitive atmosphere that we're bringing in solid guys that have been playing together for a long time. And like I said, all those guys, all those coaches that I explained to you, they all have sons the same age as my sons, and they've been playing together for 5-6 years and been in the Pop Warner Super Bowl every year, year in and year out, you know, winning championships, regional championships, beating teams in California, Florida, Texas, Vermont, Virginia. You know, these guys are playing some, a lot of teams at a young age. So getting them to come up through the program, man, I'm really excited for the future of Damani football. And that's not taken away from the seniors, because I told them that was one of the things I said in the meeting. I said, look, guys, this is not me coming in here to rebuild. These seniors need to go out with their head held high and know that they did something great and feel proud about what they did in high school. And they absolutely can with the talent they have right now at Damani. And not to take away from the talent coming up.
I'm really curious on this next one, what your philosophy is. Coaches in Northern Nevada tend to have different mentalities when scheduling their out-of-league games. For example, I know Ernie Howren will face at least one team in their upper echelon of their state in the beginning of the season, at least one of them, to kind of get an idea of where his team lies, to show the team the tougher competition out there. And then I know some teams from North Reno want to schedule everything that is local, whether it be a Fernley, whether it be a Douglas, whether it be a Truckee, you know, keeping things super local so they know what's out there within their community. What's kind of your philosophy when scheduling out of league games?
That's a strategy that, you know, I personally think you have two different philosophies on. Is one is scheduling teams that are above what you think you guys are, above your talent, above your, you know, that thought process of, hey, they could be better than us. I want to see what we're made of. I want to see, you know, what we stand up to when we go against those top tier teams. But I also know in the beginning, getting a team that maybe not as great or below you, it really helps your transition in the structure and being able to go from, you know, only going in camp against the kids that, you know, your own team, and then going up against another team and gaining a lot of confidence early. So it'd be a mix of both of those. You know, I want to play the best competition out there. I know me and Jeff are going over our schedule next year. I think we have Minogue our first game next year. We have Faith Lutheran our third game next year. So we're not shying away from playing anybody. And so I think it'd be a combination of both. I want to play the top competition as well to see where we stand, but at the same time build some confidence early to let that snowball effect ripple throughout roll throughout the season.
Most certainly. Well, I've got about three more questions. This one, all right. This one I know you're gonna spend a minute on, because as any man that has been married in a long-winded term, I appreciate the time, Coach. Yeah. As any man that's been married or in a long-term relationship will tell you, the woman on the other end of it puts a lot of sacrifice in, puts a lot of time in that's unseen, unpraised. Mm-hmm. And you said when you got that call, you know, the emotion between you and your wife, what has it meant not just for you but for her?
Well, she just saw, especially over the past 5 years or so, is me going from training and working and doing all things that I enjoyed doing, but it wasn't something that was like I felt was really fulfilling in my life on a personal note. And the moment I started coaching my sons, even though it was, you know, the first team I coached was an 8U Pop Warner team with two of my sons on the team, and me and my Roderick Stallings, we just say, hey, let's just coach a team and see how fun it is. And I'm telling you, I know it's only 8U football, but I'd be in there on Sunday watching film of the other team. I'd be in there like making up plays for hours all day on Monday, not wanting to go to work because I want to like sit in front of my computer and get strategy and all this stuff and talk about it. And I just really found like how much I really enjoy that part of the game of football. And then really, you know, you're playing chess out there with live human beings, and it's nothing greater. I just have so much fun doing it, and having the support of my wife, she saw it when I'd coach my kids, she saw it on the sideline. And every year after that, you know, whether, you know, we were very successful every year, the family members around me, the people from the kids that I coached, the parents from them, just all were just so like, JJ, you're in your element. We just love that you do this. And it's snowballed, like I said, and it's, my wife really saw how much it meant to me, and she's being the great woman, amazing woman she is. She encouraged me to do this. And I really do appreciate that from her, having her support.
We all know that we sometimes need that better half to keep us going and keeping afloat.
Absolutely.
This is an interesting one. I know that Jeff Tiede has hired on-campus coaches previously, mm-hmm. and everybody talks about, oh, here's the value of an on-campus coach, and here's why we need you here. I'm going to say, in this day and age, it may be an advantage for you to not be a teacher and not be on campus, because you can potentially get to that zero period a little earlier. You can be on the field a little earlier. You can, as you said, breaking down film a little more at your other job. You know, what advantages does it bring for yourself to be an off-campus coach?
Yeah, I mean, we thought about that as well. Every one of my varsity coaches are going to be off campus, so we don't have a single coach on the varsity level on campus. And that being said, it is great because we can schedule zero period things where all of the coaches can be there. We already are talking about getting, you know, I'll be there pretty much every day for our zero periods and working the programming for weights and conditioning. But every one of those coaches are taking 2 days a week that, you know, these guys, let me tell you, we're not doing this for the pay. No matter what, maybe in the future, public school coaches, especially off-campus guys, can get a little more money to help them out doing this from the time they put in. But we definitely don't do this for the money. So getting those guys to be able to get in there and experience a weight room with those kids, being able to come out early to practice, get more film involved, not be having to be tied down with a school of a schedule of, you know, a typical school schedule. And a lot of guys, you know, like, you know, Josh, he's retired. He's a retired NFL football player. You know, he's got time that he wants to, you know, he could commit. So, you know, and it's good to have it. I'm fortunate to have those guys around me that are capable of doing that in my schedule as well. So, I mean, I think the coaches, and don't get me wrong, just because you played at a high level or you're a Division I athlete or you played in the NFL, that doesn't, I fully understand that doesn't make you a great coach. And just because we got all these guys that did this and this doesn't mean they're great coaches. But I know these guys as coaches. I know these guys as men. And, you know, they're honorable men, they're family men, they're guys that have, you know, morals and virtues that of integrity that I love these guys. And, you know, these guys are the guys that, you know, I'll be with for the rest of my life. So having those guys around you, for the people that you love in your life, you really can't do that if you're staffing a football team with people from, you know, who are employed from a school. So just that dynamic of coaching alone, of our relationships, just makes it a much more, a better environment where we're all on the same page for sure.
Every coach has a coach that they've looked up to, or even an inspirational quote. You mentioned Chris Ault, you mentioned Ken Wilson. You know, do you have a quote or just a story that maybe has really inspired your journey to get into the coaching from those gentlemen?
Yeah, there's been some amazing coaches in my life. Tony Amatia in high school, really, you know, I had no idea. I was, you know, my first year playing football was my freshman year of high school. Never in my life had I played football prior to that. I didn't even know I was capable of getting a scholarship till my junior year. Coach Amatia brought me in there and said, hey, Cal Berkeley just offered you a scholarship. I was like, what? Like, really? And so his guidance, he was amazing for me. He was a great weight room guy. He showed me the discipline in the weight room that you need. A football program has to have that kind of thing. So Coach Amatia was amazing. Coach Ault, I mean, Coach Tormey was a coach there when I first was there, but the teams that he had, I felt like were much more talented with the Nate Burlesons and some of those guys than some of our like senior year guys. And we were much more successful my junior and senior there. And it was strictly because Coach Alt. He knows how to win. Just like I told you, when you see a coach that's a leader that understands, hey, this is what it looks like. This is structure and discipline that we have to have, and we're holding everyone accountable to that, no matter how you feel. He was a big inspiration to me of that understanding. But if I had to pick one, and I wasn't with him for a long time, was when I was with the Indianapolis Colts. Tony Dungy is an amazing man. And I was in camp in with Indianapolis, and we had tornadoes there. I don't know if you know, there's a ton of tornadoes up there in Indiana. And I was getting married. And my wedding was a Friday, and this was Wednesday. I was supposed to fly out. I was in Indianapolis. I was supposed to fly back out to Reno. And everything got canceled because of these tornadoes. And so I'm calling my wife, like, I'm not going to be able to make it to my wedding, babe. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't do. So I called Coach Tony Dungy, and he brought me into his office. He said, JJ, no matter what, everything about football, family comes first. And if you put that in order, your family, your faith, and then this football team, everything else will work out in your favor. And he made a phone call, and I had a Hummer and a police escort me to a different state and get me on a plane and flew me back to Reno, where I was able to get married. And it was because of Coach Dungy. And, you know, guys like that, they're just true leaders and true inspirations. And I think those three guys have been the most inspirational to me and really helped form me of who I want to be as a coach.
Well, I will end on this question. And as I said, I really appreciate the time, but you've done a good job selling everybody that's listening. If somehow they don't listen, or you're talking to you catch a parent on the sidewalk, or you catch another staff member within the building, when they ask you, hey, we've had a tough go of it the last 2 years, what are you going to do to turn around it? What's your pitch?
Can it get worse? You know, I feel like there's only one way from here, you know, and I feel like my reputation and my personality and the people that know me in this community, I've been around this community a long time, made a lot of really good friends in Reno, and they all know me as a person, and hopefully that shines through and they can understand, like, you know, if there's going to be some trials and tribulations, there's going to be adversity. That's why I love this game of football, because it teaches you to deal with those things and what can you learn from those experiences. So like I said, you know, we profit from this experience. So if we have some adversity, if we lose a couple games, I guarantee you we're going to learn from it. I guarantee you we're going to get better from it. And the people on the outside are going to see that. You're not going to see me with my head down. You're not going to see me with a bad attitude. You're not going to see me condoning, you know, kids on the sideline, you know, having some turmoil and being cancer to the team. You're not going to see me just, you know, walk away and be afraid of failure. I promise you that. I will make sure that I stay a light to these kids, a light to the community, a light to the parents, and people who, you know, don't buy into it yet. I hope they could eventually see that, you know, what I'm trying to do is do good. And I think that's all that anybody could really ask for.
Well, I really appreciate that, Coach. I appreciate the time. And, you know, I know this interview was a little more intensive based on, you know, what we've seen lately. But I guarantee you, when I text you in June, July, and say, hey, we're going to do our preview podcast of your team, it's going to be a lot more fun talking about how how the quarterback's going to be rolling out on play action passes, and how we're going to have receivers run hitch routes or post routes. You know, it's going to be a lot more fun when we're discussing the X's and O's and things.
Yeah, that's what I really can't wait to get to, is, you know, a lot of this, especially early on, letting the dust settle and having these conversations. But, you know, what it really comes down to is I love coaching football and talking football and being able to, you know, get to that part of the game and not this. So I'm excited for that as well, for sure.
Well, I can say it'll be July before you blink, and it'll be hot summer days with lots of lots of pads, lots of water, and we will see how it all plays out when the dust settles. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right. I appreciate you having me. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to the Battleborn Preps Podcast. If you're a parent, student, or staff of Northern Nevada High School Sports, you can always trust us with news and info. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter at BattleBornPreps. And for schedules, news, and more info, hit the website at bbpreps.com. See you next time on the Battle Born Preps Podcast.